Welcome to Catholic School Matters. This is your friendly host, Dr. Tim Yule. I'm podcasting this week from the NCEA convention in Cincinnati. My first guest is Cardinal Versaldi, who is the prefect for the Congregation for Education in the Vatican. In other words, the Vatican's education office. We were blessed to have him join us. He came in for the NCEA convention upon the invitation of Dr. Tom Burnford of NCEA and Bishop Murray, who was the chair of the board at the time when they visited, and he sat down with us. So get your Italian on. You're going to get a little Italian accent, but I had no trouble understanding him. He was a very warm man, and he says a lot of very, very profound things. So I think I'm going to listen to this podcast a few times myself just to absorb his insight. Catholic School Matters is brought to you by Facts Management, which serves over 3,500 Catholic schools with tuition management software, as well as NCEA, the presenting sponsor and our partner in this project. So tune in, sit back, relax, and tune in to this little conversation, this 30-minute conversation with Cardinal Versaldi. Okay, now I'm very fortunate to be joined by Cardinal Versaldi, the prefect for the Congregation of Education at the Vatican, also by Dr. Tom Burnford of the NCEA. Your Eminence, thank you for joining us.
Thank you to you.
We're here at the convention. You're very fortunate. So we're honored you joined us in Cincinnati. Why did you decide to come here?
But formally, the reason is the invitation on behalf of this association to be present. But even more important was my real conviction, desire to come here in order to support this important work the association makes in favor of the Catholic schools in the States and also outside in all the world. In particular, I appreciated the theme of the convention, that is to include the educational institutions into the mission, general mission of the Church, according to the indication of Pope Francis. This is a real reason I am very happy to give my message, which was confirmed by the Pope Francis, in order to encourage and thanks the all the association.
So can you talk a little bit about your background in Catholic schools before you became a bishop?
Yes, I entered into the minor seminary very young, when I was 11.
Oh my gosh. Old.
So I didn't directly participate to the normal Catholic schools, but I followed all the degrees of the school in the seminary, minor and major seminary. But as you know, also in Italy, the Catholic schools are very appreciated, very important. So I met many of the teachers, very dedicated, especially Salesians, Christian Brothers, and other congregations, which have the most part of the education in the primary and secondary school. This is different from states where also the parish priests are very involved. In Italy, it's not the same. Then when I was priest and afterwards I was bishop, I appreciated, I collaborated with educational institutions in my original diocese in Vercelli, in Piemonte, northwest of Italy. And then when I was for 5 years bishop in Alessandria, and I collaborated with them, I encouraged them, and the most important role they have in the education of the young people in our country.
So how did you come? I mean, we need to explain to people that you're prefect or head of the Congregation of Catholic Education. So how did you come to be head of that?
Yes, as you know, as a priest, we did not choose our role.
And you don't run for it like election.
No. But we are called by the church to serve God's people everywhere. For me, it was the Pope Francis in 2015 to call to become prefect of the Congregation for the Catholic Education after my previous role as a president of the Prefecture of Economic Affairs, to which I was called by Pope Benedict XVI. I accepted this call as God's will, and I continue to work with the same spirit because it is an important field for the mission of the church in general, and also the importance of this work in the educational field is also the next synod on the young people who are at most in the formation in the schools, most in the Catholic schools. So it's not so much since I am a prefect of this congregation, but I had good experience both inside of my congregation and also outside, because I had the occasion to visit many of our institutions in all the world, in the Orient, in the West, and in the East of the Church. And so I am encouraged to see how much the people, without rumors, without any exhibition, they work for the education of the young people.
So I want to ask, what is the purpose of the congregation? So we just need to explain to people, what does the congregation do?
Yes, the Congregation for the Catholic Education was created in order to spread and promote the fundamental principles about the Catholic education according to the Church teaching. These are the words from the Pastor Bonus, the Constitution, the recent constitution about our congregation. These principles come from the gospel, which is the good news for the integral salvation of mankind, including the natural right of each person to the cultural progress according to the dignity of each person, as says the Gravissimum Educationis, which is the document of the Vatican II. According to its mission, our congregation promotes and coordinates, in the name of the Pope, the activities of all the schools in the world, from the maternal to the highest institution. So he has the aim to coordinate, to unify, respecting the differences, but also to giving the message of the unity of the Church according to the ministry of the Pope in the Church, who has the role and the mission to create unity in the Church, respecting the differences according to the different cultures and different mentalities, but according to the basis, the heart of the gospel, which is the same for all the people.
Did you want to jump in,
Tim,
here, Tom?
I think from my perspective, Your Eminence, it's such an honor to have you here with us in the United States with Catholic school educators, precisely because of the work that you do and that the congregation does. What I love about being Catholic is it's one church. It's a universal church for all people. And that applies to a vision for Catholic school education. And, you know, I've spent most of my life in the United States, and it can be easy to just sort of think just maybe too locally, just to think that Catholic schools are the way that they are in the United States, and that's it. And as I've had a little bit of a chance to go to Rome and meet with His Eminence, or go to Central America, start to realize there's a bigger vision that we can learn from in the United States, a bigger understanding of Catholic education, which is why I think the congregation is so important to help cast that big or universal and fully Catholic vision. So that's why this is exciting that You're here, yes, Your Eminence.
The experience I have as a prefect in the congregation is the possibility to meet the bishop of all the world, mm-hmm. and to see what is important to not to run the risk to think that our position is unique and central in the church. This is not a risk just for the United States, but also for Europe. Mm. And so listening to the bishops coming from the Cuba, from the Thailandia, from India, and we see how rich is the experience of the church, how different in the concrete situations, but also obeying to the same aim, to having the same basic, no, to the faith in the church as only teacher, mm-hmm. According to whom we have to learn before to teach, and then to have a possibility to reciprocal advantage and giving them the encouragement of a central church, but also receiving from them different and new perspective in order not to stay just repeating the same method, the same ways, and trying to renew also the mission of the church in the educational field.
So help us in America understand how our schools are different, our Catholic schools in the U.S. are different than elsewhere.
Yes, I have not much experience, direct experience, because it's just recently I am a prefect, and so it's the first time as a prefect I come to States, because I have been in the States, but when I was a teacher at Gregory University in mm-hmm. canon law, and so it was a particular reason of my coming to the States. But I know the characteristic of the United States schools, the particular and direct link between the schools and the local church, mm-hmm. especially through the parishes and parish priests. This is an honor and a burden also, I know, but I think differently from in Europe and Italy especially, now this is a very precious, even difficult characteristic of the schools in the United States, and this may favor that alliance between families, between schools, and between the local churches. Mm-hmm. This is what the Pope Francis said, the new alliance has to be reinforced to avoid dispersion of the energies or duplication or also contradiction sometimes between the different agencies in the educational Catholic field. And so I underline and appreciate very much this particular characteristic of the United States schools, and I think is also a source of problems, but also a good challenge for the future.
You know, that might be why the sort of metaphor in so many of our Catholic schools is that we are families. You know, they have that link to the pastor, to their local community, more than a national school, you know, more than they would say we are the Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic School, not necessarily the American Catholic School network.
This is very concrete incarnation of the gospel. This is very, mm-hmm. very concrete and very particular.
Yeah.
And the witness, it comes from this particular link, is very precious.
So we're seeing, you know, in the talk, you know, in my dioceses and locally is how do we grow enrollment? How do we get more students? And that's a challenge for us. How do we afford it? But can you talk about the common challenges around the world to Catholic schools?
Well, the paradox is that in the countries where the Catholic people are a minority, and the schools are few, and having few Catholic students, few Catholic teachers, they are more appreciated than in the traditional countries where the Catholics are or were the majority.
Right.
Because especially in Europe, in Italy, the Catholic schools are seen as private agencies according sometimes to the ideological bias and politically not in accord with the national approach in the sciences and the educational method. And so in many countries, more than 90% of the students are not Catholic, and also the teachers. What is important is that the identity of the Catholic schools is being respected. Mm-hmm. But this is possible when also the non-Christian people are honest intellectually, because the Catholic schools are the place where the dialogue between faith and reason is not only possible, but very characteristic. Right. And so if the people who don't believe in Christ but have intellectual honesty may well or better have a dialogue with the Christian people than in the countries where there are Christians but not practicing, and very influenced by the secularism, which is anti-Christian.
Sometimes even the Christians don't get along.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
Last spring, the congregation came out almost a year ago. It was Easter Sunday. Sure. So it was April 16th or so, Educating to Fraternal Humanism. Mm-hmm. So what was the purpose of that document?
Yes, the concrete occasion was the 15th anniversary of the promulgation of the Populorum Progression of Paul VI, who is the Pope that 50 years ago had the insight about what now called globalization.
That's right.
The importance of all the peoples in the world have to stay together in order to promote the same approach, the same purpose, the same means in order to favor the real peace, not just a lack of war, as he said in that direction. And so it was an important document, which obviously needs to be concretized in the different circumstances of our third millennium. But many of the principles given by the Pope Paul VI are still valid, especially the vision of a human nature as the basis for the necessary dialogue between all the peoples in globalized world. The Church may contribute with its specific vision, animated by hope in the strength of the good which remains in each person. It has to be promoted in special way in the schools, where the young people, without exclusion, must be helped to understand and develop the God's project of love. This is what also Pope Francis says frequently, and also in the last document where our congregation promoted about the faculties and ecclesiastical faculties and universities, Veritatis Gaudium, the new constitution, which even though formally is directed for the higher school, but in the introduction, the Pope gives three criteria, which is valid for all the schools, of the Catholic schools, also for primary and secondary schools, because it's very rich of his idea of the Church in our time. So there is continuity between the Populorum Progression and the other documents in the church. And so we try with this document about the education of a humanistic point of view to update the Populorum Progression and also to serve the mission of the church according to the Pope Francis Magisterium.
I mean, when I went back and read Populorum Progresso, I was impressed at how right it was.
Sure. In prophetic.
The church doesn't say that enough. It says we were right. 50 years ago, we said globalization is going to leave people behind. It's going to leave nations behind. People are still talking about that in politics now. And it's this sort of, how are we doing with migration and climate change, and it's changing our world, and what are we saying? Some people will dismiss it, will say it's socialism, it's economic, but the true heart of that is we have to have a view of human nature and how it's being
anthropological
impacted.
Basis is very important. Unfortunately, the secularism tries always to destroy the natural basis of our thinking.
So how does, I mean, you've been on the job as prefect for 2 years?
4 years.
4 years. So did Pope Francis, when he appointed you, did he say, and by the way, I want you to write a new document?
Or,
I mean, how does it come about?
Oh, no, the production of documents is not the first task of our congregation. The Curia Romana in each congregation, dicastery, has to serve the ministry of the Pope in unifying the church in all the world. And the ordinary work in our congregation is to encourage, to meet, to give support to the ordinary work. The Catholic schools are already and daily doing in their countries. Sometimes it's necessary to produce also some documents in order to reassume, to concentrate the most important criteria as guidelines of the work they do in the ordinary day, in the ordinary work. And so the Pope didn't give me any order for the new document, but we sometimes may see the utility of some documents. And this last document is Constitution Veritatis Gaudium, is not document of congregation, but as constitution is signed by the Pope. Oh, and so there is another connected document to the constitution, which is of our congregation, containing the rules in order to realize, to concretize the general criteria the Pope gives for the renewal of the Catholic education. But what is important is the ordinary work, which consists in many meetings we have with the local churches and also the formal release of documents of titles, academic constitution, and so on.
So many of us in the U.S. are still trying to absorb joy of the gospel. In fact, you'll see this week, if you look at a program, a lot of missionary discipleship, a lot of mention of that. So it's sort of working its way through. But there's also Amoris Laetitia, which the bishops are trying to understand. And then there's also Laudato Si. So how do you see educating to fraternal humanism fitting into this Pope Francis message?
Yeah, it is important to understand the heart of the message Pope Francis is giving to a church for our time. So there is apparently contradictory two messages. The first is to go to the heart of the gospel in order to redefine and to reconsider the essential of the gospel and consequently of the mission of the church to preach and testify the gospel. So it's in, apparently a restriction, no? To the core, no? To abandon what is peripheral, secondary, mm-hmm. and to go to the heart of the gospel, and as in the document Evangelii Gaudium, I noticed that Gaudium is Evangelii Gaudium, our document, last document is Veritatis Gaudium. Mm-hmm. Gaudium is always a word repeated by the Pope, because as he wrote in the Evangelii Gaudium, is if we go to the heart of the gospel as in good news, no, the joy is the first consequence, because you find victory, you come life, you come a friend, you come Lord, rich of misericordia, of mercy. Mm-hmm. And this is an sentiment, not just an emotional, but a conviction of joy. No? Mm-hmm. This is the first. The second is the very strong impulse the Pope Francis gives to the dialogue. Because if you are convinced, are radicated in the heart of the church, you are the best, you are in the best condition to open also to other people who have a different vision of the reality, also in religion or in the cultural fields, because you have not fear to lose something, but according to the method of dialogue, you have first of all to listen the other, to understand the other, as did the Jesus with the people, or staying with them, understanding their needs, even though are mostly material needs. They asked him also for bread, for health, but Jesus didn't refuse to stay with them and to answer to their questions, but then this is the second step of the dialogue, also to give an impulse, an encouragement for other questions, other problems, which transcend the material world and correspond to the deepest desire of the human hearts. And so in this way, the dialogue is an occasion, after having listened to the other people, after having conquered their trust, and also to give them the possibility to see the part of the reality which is hidden to them. And in this way, you propose, never impose, you propose a new message, transcendental message, which is the answer to the most important questions of our life. And this is what we call the evangelical method, which every Christian, but especially in the Catholic school, are to be followed according to a Christ example.
Tom?
You know, Tim, just hearing Your Eminence talk about dialogue and that evangelical method, I think for us, I hear that particularly in the United States at this time with some of the difficulties we've had, whether situations of violence in school, whether issues of racism in the United States, this message of dialogue and an evangelical method that includes listening, includes the truth, includes authentic communication and dialogue. I think it's so important for us in the United States to hear this and really take it and ponder it. So I think there's no
well, that propose, not impose. I mean, just yes. I was just in a session we were talking about, there's lots of issues now about gender fluidity and children who are confused in their identity and the parents, and there's a lot of heightened issues. And it's like, if you start with this idea of let's propose or let's listen, dialogue, and we'll get to a point of proposing as opposed to you know, imposing.
And the last message I would like to give you is to follow one of the criteria Pope Francis in the Evangelii Gaudium gives us, no? That the time is more important than the space. So according to the, sentence, the Pope invites us, and also is the message tomorrow I will give also for this convention, is then what is important is not the immediate results, but to work to begin new processes in order also that the other people may continue in renewal of the church without the obsession of immediate results. This is free us from the anxiety and discouragement and the temptation to defend ourselves, to defend what remains faithful in the church, to open our minds and also our decision in order to propose the always valid message of the gospel also for the mankind of our time.
It's fantastic. That's what I was hoping for, some sort of closing remark. Well, Your Eminence, it's 30 minutes. We said 20.
Thank you. I hope
it's fantastic.
To be understood.
We can't wait to see you. You're going to join us for Mass tomorrow and, sure, and be around tomorrow as well.
Sure. And,
okay. Thank you. Thanks for joining me in this conversation podcast. This has been Catholic School Matters, presented by NCEA and sponsored by FaxRenWeb. Fax Tuition Management serves over 3,500 Catholic schools. Thanks again for tuning in to this podcast, where we spoke to a thought leader in Catholic education. This is part of our continued attempt to change the narrative about Catholic schools. Remember, folks, Catholic schools matter.